Ava.
Lillian.
Alice.
Jocelyn.
Lauren.
All right, we're going to talk about adult classics and contemporaries, comparing first pages to see how they draw us in. So, Ava is going to read a... This is the classic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. See if you can guess what it is, if you can.
Pat yourself on the back.
Yeah.
Pat yourself on the back.
Yeah. Okay. You'll be entered in our drawing.
Scarlett O'Hara was not beautiful, but men seldom realized it when caught by her charm, as the Tarleton twins were. In her face were too sharply blended the delicate features of her mother, a coast aristocrat of French descent, and the heavy ones of her florid Irish father. But it was an arresting face, pointed of chin, square of jaw. Her eyes were pale green without a touch of hazel, starred with bristly black lashes and slightly tilted at the ends. Above them, her thick black brows slanted upward, cutting a startling oblique line in her magnolia white skin. That skin so prized by southern women and so carefully guarded with bonnets, veils, and mittens against the hot Georgia sun. Should I keep going?
Is that the first one?
That's the first paragraph.
I think that's pretty good. How about we stop there and talk about it? If we want to go on, we can.
Yep.
But bet you can't guess what novel that is.
No.
What do you think of the beginning, the first few sentences? Did that draw you in? About her beauty?
It's not her beauty.
It's not her beauty?
Yeah.
It's a description of her, but she's not beautiful.
It says, right, the very first line, Scarlett O'Hara was not beautiful, but men seldom realized it when caught by her charm, as the Tarleton twins were.
See, it even fooled me.
Well, when you think Gone with the Wind, you think Vivien Leigh. Yeah, and Vivien Leigh was definitely drop-dead gorgeous. Scarlett O'Hara, I have this picture of this almost catty-looking, this very feline face.
Well, she's got furry brows.
With the tilted green eyes and the very square jaw, very feline.
But it makes it clear that it's her personality, her charm, that draws people in. So she's got to be somebody pretty magnetic.
And yet it tells. We don't really see her charm.
Yeah. So far it's just telling, not showing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's definitely introduced a character, and it's told us a lot about her in that little piece. Again, it's omniscient.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but we are told over and over again nowadays not to describe your main character, how she looks or he. So it's interesting.
Well, not to describe them
as if they're looking in a mirror.
Yeah.
Especially when you're working with first person, you've got that problem.
Yeah, not to describe them in great detail, but does this work here?
Well, this is omniscient. This is like the reader looking through a frame at this character.
But the argument nowadays is they want the reader to fill in the blanks to see who they want to see.
Yeah,
You still need a little bit, a few little details.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't like the rule. I don't go by it.
No.
But this...
Lily, you're my hero.
We've created a picture of a character, and if they left out most of that and just put in a few little details, you would not get the same image.
Mm-hmm.
If they said that she was not beautiful and talked about her magnolia white skin and her bushy eyebrows, you'd be going, and then?
But in modern day writing, this paragraph would be completely useless, but at the same time, it gives you the picture. It shows you the character, and it talks about her charm and these Tarleton twins who are caught by her.
And her genealogy.
Yeah. It shows us a lot about her.
And that's standard for the time.
I really like the way that's done.
I think it draws you in.
It does.
I do too.
It draws me in.
Yep.
But maybe because we already know the
movie.
We've read it six
that
times
helps.
Over. And
helps, yeah.
I've never
seen the movie and I've never read the book.
I like the book better. This one was the first one that ever made me cry.
Confessions, here and now.
Oh. Okay, maybe we need to read it. So, Gone with the Wind, in case you didn't know.
By Margaret Mitchell.
Yes, thank you. Okay, so what are we going to compare this to? Who's got the next one?
Do you want me to
do one of mine? Sure.
Okay. This is a fairly contemporary book, and it starts with something that I'm not going to read, which is three increasingly tense letters from a credit card company. And here is where the actual story starts. Okay, don't panic. Don't panic. It's only a visa bill. It's a piece of paper, a few numbers. I mean, just how scary can a few numbers be? I stare out the office window at a bus driving down Oxford Street, willing myself to open the white envelope sitting on my cluttered desk. It's only a piece of paper, I tell myself for the thousandth time. And I'm not stupid, am I? I know exactly how much this visa bill will be. Sort of. Roughly. It'll be about £200. 300 maybe. Yes, maybe 300. 350 max. I casually close my eyes and start to tot up. There was that suit in Jigsaw, and there was dinner with Sue's at Queglino's, and there was that gorgeous red and yellow rug. The rug was £200, come to think of it, but it was definitely worth every penny. Everyone's admired it, or at least Sue's has. And the Jigsaw suit was on sale, 30% off, so that was actually saving money. Okay, that's that first page.
All right. So, to me, what draws me into that is the voice. The voice is just
it's very strong.
Yes, awesome Jocelyn.
If only I could have done the accent to go along with it.
But that is a great modern voice.
Yeah, I think in, it depends on the genre, but in a lot of genres, especially women's fiction and YA fiction, voice is really critically important these days.
Makes or breaks it.
Yeah. Definitely.
You definitely get a feel for this person's personality and the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yes. There's a problem right up
front. Money problem.
Actually, the problem's in her head.
And probably for people who live in this area, the names of the stores would probably make an even bigger impression.
Yes. Yeah.
Probably very expensive stores.
That would be my guess. Expensive stores, expensive
the brand
restaurants.
Names.
Yeah.
You can tell this person is living a high lifestyle.
Living beyond their means.
Yeah. There's definitely an emotion, a mood to it, the worry, the concern, trying to talk.
Yeah,
I want to reach in there and take away the credit card.
hopefully most people don't panic when they get their Visa bills. So obviously this person has a problem with their credit card habits.
Probably not just a Visa bill either.
Yeah.
I think we can probably guess that this person is female too, since the cover is pink.
Yes, that helps.
And the voice and the, I mean, usually women have a shopping problem as far as clothes.
Yeah, I don't think
things,
men would be as likely to buy rugs and suits and go out with a friend named Suze. So,
but if you do, we're trying not to offend you.
Please don't be offended.
So, yeah, because it doesn't really tell us if
it
it's a man or a woman, but
I
by the voice.
So by the letter, so we'd know her name.
Oh.
Yeah, let me flip back to those letters. Yes. Those credit card letters are to a Ms. Bloomwood.
Okay.
So, yeah, you know up front that it's a woman.
But you don't know how old she is. You don't know.
Old enough to have a credit card.
She's old enough to have a credit card and too young to be retired.
And to be responsible.
too young to be responsible.
Probably doesn't have a family because...
Yeah, there's no mentions of significant others or children. It's all about going out with her friend to go shopping and do things.
She's not hiding the Visa bill from a husband.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that the Visa bill was delivered to the office could be significant.
Delivered to the office. I didn't even pick up on that. Yeah.
Yeah. That is interesting.
Using the company credit card. Or maybe she's been avoiding the bills.
Yeah, and just carried them with her to the office because she lives at the office. So that
or they had to send them to the office because she wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she better have an office if she's got to pay them for that much.
She better have a job.
It says she has an office and she was looking out the window. And probably the name of the street, if we were living in this area,
and
the
she
name
has
of the
a very
street
cluttered
would probably
desk.
Tell us what kind of an area.
Mm-hmm. We don't know what she does for a living yet, do we?
Not yet.
So
must make good money.
In
or
contrast
not.
To the classic, we can see that there's a big shift in how storytelling works. And
no
both,
description of her at all.
Yeah. Both are books aimed primarily at women. And it's shifted from this really elaborate, omniscient description to this first person, very, modern details, all in the emotions of the moment and all about the voice.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really big narrative shift from the classic to
we know exactly what the
modern.
Problem is.
Yeah.
We have the point of view. We have the
voice.
That looks like a pretty fat book. How many pages is in that book?
Or more importantly, how big is the print?
It's pretty big.
A lot of ads in the back, but
what? 500 pages?
350.
350 pages about a credit card problem. I'm not sure I could stomach that.
Yeah, so it depends on
the movie.
You know.
It's pretty funny.
Is it?
But then, and yeah. Just the voice would carry me through it, just because.
Yes,
I love.
And for those of you who are not readers of Chick Lit, this is Confessions of a Shopaholic by Sophie Kinsella.
Mm-hmm. That is one I
Northern Italy
would read.
Yeah, that really was fun. Whereas we're telling about Scarlett O'Hara's charm, we get to see Miss Bloomwood's charm.
Yes.
What a
lack of responsibility.
I guess this goes right back to people liking to read things, read about people who have their own problems.
Yes. Very much so.
Well, Chick Lit hasn't been around extremely long.
Yeah, it's kind of a subset of women's fiction.
Bridget
sort of
Jones
a more lighthearted
kind of
version.
Off,
yeah.
It?
Yeah.
So did we have another one to read?
Did you want to do yours? My literary cozy novel that I really wanted to read, even though not very many people may like it because it's literary. And if you can guess the name of this book, or if you can guess the author,
then
my hat is off to
you.
You
and
can
it
be
is
friends
very,
with Ava
very
forever.
Popular, believe it or not.
It is a New York Times bestseller. And this one was written in 1996, I believe. It's been around a long time.
Ancient.
It's been
he's still writing.
It's been around a long time.
Still writing him.
Yeah, it's 1994.
Okay.
He left the office-scented warmth of the Main Street Grill and stood for a moment under the green awning. The honest cold of an early mountain spring stung him sharply. He often noted the minor miracle of passing through a door into a completely different world with different smells and attractions. It helped to be aware of the little things in life, he told himself, and he often exhorted his congregation to do the same. As he headed toward the church office 2 blocks away, he was delighted to discover that he wasn't walking at all. He was ambling. It was a pleasure he seldom allowed himself. After all, it might appear that he had nothing else to do, when in truth he always had something to do. He decided to surrender himself to the stolen joy of it, as some might eat half a box of chocolates in one sitting without remorse.
Mm. I'm assuming he's not going to go blow something up. He's ambling too much.
A lot of description in that first sentence.
You know where he is. You know. You don't know his name, but you know who he
but,
is.
But, yeah, you get an impression of his occupation.
Mm-hmm.
He's a religious leader.
Mm-hmm.
You
he's
learn
actually,
quite a bit, actually.
He's actually an Episcopalian minister.
But, again, in contrast with the classic, you don't get physical description of the character. You don't
mm-hmm.
get his name right off. It's
you get
more
the weather.
About,
you do definitely get a voice.
Yeah,
setting.
You get his voice and his mood.
Mm-hmm.
He
get a lot.
He likes where he's at.
And that's half a page. I mean,
that's half a page.
You got setting, kind of voice, mood. Do we have a problem yet?
There isn't really a problem in this book. It's just, it talks about his congregation and the things that they are dealing with and how he tries to help them. And I've heard this book called boring. I love these stories. I love them.
And it is on the New York Times bestseller list. So
there is an audience for this sort of thing.
If you like a quiet life fiction, you know, cuddle up in front, yeah. Cozy.
So, to some extent, it does set up a certain expectation, because you don't get a big problem. You just more get this sort of mood and this feel and this atmosphere. So,
And they're hopeful, happy books. I really like them. So.
And it's written by a female, because a guy would not write a guy like that. No comments on that. Okay.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah, that's probably very true.
Should I give the title and everything?
Sure.
This is At Home in Mitford by Jan Karen. She's got 7 books in the series thus far that I know of.
Okay. So, did we want to do one more?
Do we have one more?
I have
that?
One more I could do.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, this one is pretty recent, 2008, and it is a book told in the form of letters.
Epistolary
novel. Okay.
Oh, like letters back and forth to people.
Yes,
not,
letters.
Like,
no.
Are all books written with letters?
I know.
There are some that are just pictures.
People don't write letters anymore, so I guess the modern equivalent would be a book told in email or a book told by Facebook.
Or
but this is the old-fashioned version.
So it's a modern day. It was written in modern
day. But you will see
from the letter
that
historical.
It establishes its time setting right away. 8th January, 1946. Mr. Sidney Stark, publisher, Stevens & Stark Limited, 21 St. James Place, London, SW1, England. Dear Sidney, Susan Scott is a wonder. We sold over 40 copies of the book, which was very pleasant, but much more thrilling from my standpoint was the food. Susan managed to procure ration coupons for icing sugar and real eggs for the meringue. If all her literary luncheons are going to achieve these heights, I won't mind touring about the country. Do you suppose that a lavish bonus could spur her on to butter? Let's try it. You may deduct the money from my royalties. Now for the grim news. You haven't asked me how my work on my new book is progressing. Sydney, it isn't. English foibles seemed so promising at first. After all, one should be able to write reams about the society to protest the glorification of the English bunny. I unearthed a photograph of the Vermin Exterminators Trade Union marching down in Oxford Street with placards screaming, "Down with Beatrix Potter!" But what is there to write about after a caption? Nothing, that's what. So that is the first page of that.
That was cute.
Bunnies.
I guess it wasn't
bunnies
cute.
Are always
I wasn't exactly sure what he's trying to write.
It's, well, obviously it's during war period.
Mm-hmm. And it's someone who appears to be writing, as it mm-hmm. says in the address, their publisher.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a writer writing to their publisher.
You've read this book. What were your impressions of it?
Wait, I want to talk about the first page
yeah,
first.
Yeah, let's deal with the first page and then
the book.
Move
is there
on.
A hook? What's the hook?
I'm curious. I think stories like this are fascinating. I mean, the whole, they didn't get food because of the war, and they had to have ration stamps, mm-hmm. and they're so excited to have real eggs. I mean, that's
fascinating. And they sold 40, the woman, whoever she is, sold 40 books.
Mm-hmm.
That was, like,
very
amazing,
exciting.
And she got real eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And she's having trouble with her new book, which sounded cute, but she's having trouble with it. I thought that her voice was cute when she's talking about, you know, the protest of the glorification of the English bunny. It's just
okay, so
interesting.
It was a little confusing to me because the person is talking about this woman, but is the person talking the woman? Or is it somebody
else? Looks like in the first paragraph she's talking about this woman,
mm-hmm.
and then she moves on to talking about her new book that she's writing.
Okay. So somebody else sold
I was
40 books.
Actually quite unclear.
It was very confusing to me.
Yeah, I think this is one where it would help to actually read it with your own eyes instead of hearing it aloud.
Yeah.
I think seeing a letter makes more sense than hearing it.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's one of the genius points of the book.
What's the mood?
To write a letter like that.
What's the mood here? It's kind of positive.
Kind of lighthearted, a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Hopeful.
I'm trying to look for the good in a tough situation.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like she's trying to be positive.
Yeah.
She's putting in an effort to be positive.
Well, it's hard to tell. Jocelyn read it again. It was very happy.
Yes. I guess
somebody
I
needs to read it monotone.
Yeah,
you can't tell. When she said so-and-so sold 40 books, my first thought was, okay, is she being sarcastic?
But then you look at the date, 1946, mm-hmm. and you got to think, you know, okay, and this is
books.
England.
Mm-hmm.
So people probably don't have a ton of extra money to buy books right now, so that mm-hmm. contextualizes that a little bit.
One interesting thing about it, contrasting it with today, is the things that they consider luxuries that we just take for granted.
It's
you know.
Because of wartime rationing.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and that's what makes it interesting to me. You know, we and our kids don't even you know,
think about
can't
it.
Even...
Yeah, so even though it's a novel written in a contemporary time, it really does transport you to a very different place. So that's one of the promises, I guess, and expectations that this book sets up in the first pages, that you're going to be transported to a place that's really unfamiliar to you, and you're going to be encountering situations that are very remote from your everyday life. And if that's the kind of reading experience that interests you, then that might pull you in.
Mm-hmm. Down with Beatrix Potter.
I
like Beatrix Potter.
That name, and I know it wasn't intentional, but that name just pulled me right out because Beatrix and Potter, I mean, you've got the Harry Potter books, and Beatrix was one of the characters.
Beatrix Potter is also the author of the Peter Rabbit series, mm-hmm. which those of us with children are more familiar with, I suppose.
All right. So anything else to say about that one? Would you go on to read it?
I don't think I would.
I don't think so.
I would just because it fascinates me. The subject fascinates me. Or time.
The time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But as far as the person, I don't know. I'd give it a chapter.
Yeah. Or two or three letters. Yes,
I don't typically read historical.
I don't
watch the movie. Now, is this based on real characters?
No.
Nope. Just the time period?
Just the time period. So this one is the Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society.
Okay.
By Marianne Schaefer and Annie Barrows.
I've actually heard it's pretty
good. Wow, the title's longer than the book. I might put it back.
So did you enjoy it?
Yeah. It's a fun, light, and based on, your stories of everyday life, this is actually very much stories of everyday life in wartime.
You've underlined
things. I bought it used.
Oh, okay.
Someone else underlined.
I was like, I gotta really like a book to underline.
I know.
I bought it used.
All right, well, great. We're evaluating adult classics and contemporary classics, first pages, kind of comparing them. And what would you say, to summarize, is the difference between the classics and the contemporary novels?
I think a lot of times it comes down to the style. We see a lot of omniscient in the classics, and the voices and the points of view are a lot more diverse.
And a lot more description.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in all of these contemporary ones, there's a range of moods and attitudes and emotions in them. But in general, they have stronger, more distinctive narrative voices. Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's because it's not the omniscient voice there. Okay, and they're more in maybe first person point of view.
Or deep third person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, you've been listening to Writing Snippets. Thank you for joining us.